Today, as we celebrate St. Teresa of Avila, I first want to extend a happy feast day to all of our Carmelites who are among us. Today, we have what is truly to be said, a wise virgin. In fact, one of the wisest in the history of the church. And she has been elevated to be a doctor of the church. For centuries, her writings were recognized to be on that level, and finally in the 1970s, she was elevated to that level. And she is a doctor of the church because of the profound nature of her teaching on prayer. I've told you many times, she is the master of prayer in the church. And so I certainly recommend her writings to you. Her greatest writing, of course, is her Interior Castles, but that primarily focuses on the two highest levels of prayer. So if you're not there, don't start with that. So start with her life and then go to the way of perfection, which covers the first five levels of prayer, then go to the Interior Castles, which kind of skim over the first five and then primarily focus on the last two. If you're just beginning with prayer, and I have been hammering the point with what is coming, if you do not have your mental prayer in place, we're not going to make it. Get your mental prayer in place. And if you're just beginning, there is a wonderful little book that lays out the how-to of mental prayer. It's called In Conversation with Christ by Father Peter Thomas Rohrbach. And it's kind of a brief overview of the Theresian spirituality, but it's the how to pray. And if you're interested in the Carmelite spirituality and you're looking for a book on meditation, because that's the first level, then I would strongly advise Divine Intimacy. Beautiful book that lays things out, goes right along with the liturgical year according to the traditional calendar, and beautiful insights. And so it's a great way to get started. But the main thing is the prayer. Because as we heard in the gospel reading today, the wise virgins had their lamps ready. They had the extra oil. They had everything that they needed. The foolish virgins didn't. We'd all like to be there. We'd all like to show up. The question each one of us has to ask is, do I have enough oil in my lamp? We'd like to be able to say yes, but all I have to do is look at my own self as I see the things coming. I've been preaching about this stuff for 30 years. I thought it was going to happen a long time ago. If I would have just said, oh, I'm good enough. I got enough oil in the lamp. My lamp would have gone out 25 years ago. We need to keep pushing forward, and we need to have that extra reserve, because what's coming is going to empty the reserves pretty quickly. And so we need to have that prayer every single day, because that's what fills us back up, which is what allows us then to pour out what the Lord has filled in. And the more we pour out, the more He can fill in. That's the nature of the prayer life. But it's not just a matter of filling up and pouring out. It's a question of what we're filling up with. We're filling up with is the Lord. It is Jesus. So when St. Paul says, those who would glory, let them glory in the Lord, it's exactly what St. Teresa is about. The focus is our Lord. It's not just, in fact, she doesn't even tell you how to pray, because she's writing to her nuns. So by the way, she's a blast to read. For those of you who can speak Spanish, highly recommend to you reading her in the original language. People who have read her in the original language said she's so funny, they just break out in laughter. Doesn't come across in the English. There's nothing funny in the English, but apparently in the Spanish, it's quite profound. But anyway, she doesn't tell you how to pray because she's writing to her nuns, which also is very important for women, because this is a woman writing to women on how to pray, on what you expect in the prayer life. The way God deals with women and the way He deals with men in prayer is completely different. And so some of the road markers are the same. So again, it's great to know what St. Teresa teaches, because we still need to know the mile markers as we go. But it's still something very different. And obviously, the way a woman is going to understand what a woman is teaching is very different from the way a guy is going to understand her. And so it's, again, a great thing for women because women are the foundation for everything. If women don't have their prayer life in order, the whole thing is coming down because everything is built upon the shoulders of the women. That's the reality. And so the church is particularly built upon the shoulders of the contemplative nuns. Marriage and family is built on the shoulders of the mother and the wife. The church and society are built upon the foundation of the family. The foundation of that, as I just mentioned, is a woman. So we have to make sure that the spiritual life is in order. That doesn't mean the guys can sit back and say, oh, good, it's all on my wife. I don't have to worry about this. No. Because there's another old saying in the church, it's impossible to live with a saint. Well, I changed that a long time ago to say it's impossible to live with anybody who prays mental prayer. If you're going to pray mental prayer, you're going to be different from everybody else. So if your wife is going to be praying mental prayer and you want to stay married, you better start praying mental prayer because your wife is going to become very different in a very good way. She's going to become more holy. And if you're not, there's going to be a huge disparity in the marriage that's not going to work very well. It's going to be very difficult. You're going to help your wife to become a saint because you're going to make her life miserable. But the fact that she is growing in holiness is going to make your life a little difficult too if you don't grow along with her. So this isn't something that is just for women. It is much easier for women, I must say. The beginning parts of the spiritual life are much easier for women. Very, very difficult for guys. But the upper levels, much more difficult for women than they are for the men. So regardless, you want to make sure that you're aiming for at least a half hour a day of mental prayer. At least. Now, you might not be able to start there. This is America. We have no patience for anything, and we have no ability to stay focused because we're used to watching TV where everything changes every 3 seconds or whatever it is. And so it may take a little time to get used to being silent. It may take a little time to just get used to being there and, as they seem to think, doing nothing, when in fact the greatest things in the universe are going to be happening right in your own soul, but you may not even be aware of it intellectually. So you might want to start, if you can't handle the half an hour right away, that's okay. Start with 15 minutes. And stay, by the way, for the whole time, because sometimes it gets dry, sometimes it gets painful, and we want to run away. Sometimes you'll feel like you've been there for an hour and you look at your watch and you've been there for about 2 minutes. And sometimes you'll feel like you've been there for 2 minutes and you look at your watch and you've been there for an hour. So it depends on what's going on, but stay with the time. Because if you run away after 2 minutes, what God's trying to do in your soul isn't going to work. You need to give Him the time to work. And ultimately, this prayer is a conversation. It's not just sitting there doing nothing. It's being with the Lord. It's to get into your heart. This is why it's so much easier for women, because women live in their hearts. Men live in their heads. We don't even know we have a heart, let alone how to get into it. And so women, you tell them, get in the heart and talk to the Lord. They go, okay. Men, they kind of look at you funny and they go, huh? But anyway, so it's again, that's why the beginning stages are much more difficult for the guys. But the idea, you read the book, you think about what the passage was about, you get down into the heart, and you try to talk to the Lord about it and see what needs to change in your life to become more like what you've just been talking to the Lord about. Make that resolution at the end. You try to put that into practice. You do that day after day after day after day. You begin to be conformed to Jesus Christ. That's the whole idea. Then as you move along, eventually you get to the point of contemplation. As you get into contemplation, that's where the real conformity happens. And then there's the last three stages of what St. Teresa talks about. It's the prayer of union, simple union, where the soul becomes united with the will of God. And then there is conforming union, where you are conformed more perfectly to God. And then there is transforming union, which is spiritual perfection, which is the point at which your will and God's are one. You have been transformed. There is no more sin. There are no more imperfections. Everything has been purified, and you are one with God. That's as high as we can continue to go even after that, but you're united at that point. And love is perfect at that point. And isn't that what we're created for? So that's, again, why this is so important. You're created to love and be loved. Saint Teresa lays out the way for it to happen. That's what God wants for all of us. So this isn't just a call to a few contemplative women that are locked up in a monastery somewhere, being absolutely heroic for the rest of us. This is a call for every single person, because everyone is called to union with God. Everyone is called to love. Everyone is called to holiness. And so that is why this is so important. So the Church gives to us someone as extraordinary as Saint Teresa, so that we can learn. We don't have to blaze a new trail. It's already been blazed. All we need to do is get on it. We have somebody who has laid it out for us and said, here's how it works, and here's what you can expect, and here's what you do. And so pick her up and read her. Be able to let that in and recognize the wisdom that she's talking about, because the wisdom is Jesus. And that's what her life is about. Put the focus on our Lord, to love the Lord, to be conformed and ultimately transformed into the Lord, so that you can be truly the person God created you to be.